I actually haven't climbed since finals. People just expect me to not do cordo moves and stuff like that. And I just kind of want to change that. I just like enjoy the grind. I enjoy like the pain.
Welcome to another episode of the That's Not Real Climbing podcast. I'm your host, Jenny, and I'm excited to introduce my guest for today, Annie Sanders. Annie is a climber on Team USA, and she has had an amazing World Cup season this year with two boulder golds and a lead gold and even more podiums. In this episode, we'll learn about what goes through her mind during her crazy beta breaks, what her training routine looks like, and how gym access really influences performance. I really appreciate her breaking out of her shell a bit to do this interview, so enjoy this exclusive interview with Annie. I'm excited to announce that my sponsor, Mad Rock Climbing, just came out with a brand new pair of shoes, the Remora Pro. I was so excited to try them on that even though I broke a toe on my right foot, I had to at least try on the left shoe, so I can definitely say that the Remora Pro is better than a rental shoe. But really, these are their softest shoe ever, which means you no longer need to worry about standing on sketchy volumes and comps. They also have a crazy 3D heel that allows you to get more surface area when heel hooking, and inserts that lock your heel into the shoe no matter how hard you're pulling. Feel free to message me if you have any questions about the shoes or sizing, and you can use the discount code NOTREALCLIMBER for 10% off your entire Mad Rock order. Back to the show. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. A little bit hectic because I'm taking care of a cat right now, but maybe she'll make an appearance. I don't know. We'll definitely get more into world champs later on, but how are you feeling now coming back from Korea? Are you still jet lagged or when did you get back?
I got back on Monday, but I'm definitely still jet lagged. Like, I think last night I slept for like 12 hours and I'm still pretty exhausted today.
Oh my gosh. It's been like a week, right?
Yeah. I feel like it usually takes me at least 2 weeks to like fully recover from any Asia trip.
No, I totally agree with that. And people think I'm like crazy for saying that I feel like I lose a month of my life whenever I go to Asia. But yeah, I think it takes me like 2 weeks there and then 2 weeks when I get back. And so yeah. I feel like I lose my entire life.
Yeah, same.
Do you have any like jet lag tricks?
Honestly, not really. Just try to like not nap later in the day.
Because
then I'll like be up all night. I've been like taking like two or three naps around like noon and maybe like two.
It's like the exhaustion hits different though. It's not just like a nap that you can say no to.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Like I can't function anymore.
Yeah, like I can't stay awake.
Yeah. How do you climb with the jet lag?
I actually haven't climbed since finals, so I'm taking a little bit of a break right now. But usually I just try to push through it. Maybe not train as hard, but like I don't know, always just try to like listen to my body and see how I feel.
What about when it's like competition time, like the jet lag you get in Asia?
Honestly, I don't feel that much jet lag when I'm going to Asia, but once I get back, it like hits me pretty hard. And the same with Europe. I think it's when I'm in Europe, I'm there for so long that I don't really notice it. But
right.
Yeah, I feel like I only feel the jet lag when I get back from Asia. It's really weird.
I mean, I guess that's convenient that you don't feel the jet lag when it's important, I guess.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Okay. Did you do anything fun in Korea?
I mean, we went shopping, of course. That was pretty much it. We didn't really have time to do too much sightseeing, so we were kind of staying in the area where the venue was.
And how long were you there for?
I honestly can't remember. Maybe like in Korea, I think I was there for about a week and a half, maybe.
Oh, but that's pretty short.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know the exact length, but I did go to Japan for a week before then for like training and travel, I guess. Yeah.
What did you do in Japan? I've never been, but I would really like to check it out.
Mostly just like training. And the gyms there are very good, but yeah, the trip was like mostly focused around training because like a lot of the gyms there open very late. So we would just like wait out the day, go to the gym. And then by the time we're finished, it's already like bedtime. So, but like on the rest days, we would go shopping, like check out coffee shops, do some sightseeing.
It's kind of wild that you would say that you have to like wait out the day in Japan. I feel like for a lot of people, going to Japan is like a dream vacation.
Yeah. I mean, we did do like a little bit of like sightseeing during that time. Not much.
Mm-hmm. Are you like a foodie when you travel, or is it just like shopping? Or
I'm really into coffee, and I actually found a 10 out of 10 coffee shop in Japan in Shinjuku.
Well, yeah, so, what's it called? Give it a shout out.
Covert Coffee. It's really close to the Shinjuku train station.
Okay. Hopefully people can check that out when they go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess getting a little bit into climbing and your background with that, how did you start out climbing?
So my mom is actually a climber, so she started climbing when she was in college, and she kind of like brought it into the family. I pretty much like grew up in a gym. I would like hang around in her and her friends as kids, like when they were all climbing together. And then when I was 7, I started competing, and that's when I like fell in love with competition climbing and decided that's what I wanted to keep doing with my life.
Okay, so sort of a climbing family, or do you have like siblings?
Yeah, I have 2 older sisters. One of my older sisters also climbs. She also works at a gym. She coaches little kids.
Yeah, what was that dynamic like growing up, being like the youngest one? Or I guess, I don't know necessarily if you're the youngest
I'm the youngest, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So like being the youngest one, and then also other people who like climb in the family.
I mean, it was pretty cool. We would always like plan a bunch of trips around climbing. So like, for example, we used to go to Rifle in the summer, and we would like go camping and then climbing and stuff like that. So it was a pretty cool family dynamic.
Yeah, you felt like you actually liked it the whole time.
Yeah, I actually liked it. I mean, my parents gave me like many options. I like tried many different sports, but I always stuck to climbing.
What do you feel like was the second closest sport that you really enjoyed?
Definitely swimming. I still do swim twice a week for cross training.
Really?
But okay. I quit competitive swimming when I was 9, so.
Just to focus on climbing?
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. So yeah, I guess I would say that I always thought you were more of a lead climber than a boulder. I don't know where I got that thought from. Maybe just from like the way that you rest on boulders or something like that. But your results are actually pretty even. So do you have a preference nowadays still?
No, I don't have a preference. I mean, I like both equally, so it's like hard to choose one.
Yeah, I guess I found that surprising. I mean, did you used to like lead more, you think?
Honestly, like, not really. I kind of have always done both equally. I think I've just been naturally, like, better as a lead climber because I have, like, more slow twitch muscles. Like, I move slower on the wall, but that's something that I'm going to, like, try to work on this coming off season.
In general, like, how would you characterize your climbing?
I mean, honestly, I feel like you're kind of right in a way. I feel like I do climb like a lead climber. But it's kind of because I'm like also timid on a lot of boulders. Like I don't really like commit fully to a lot of the moves, which is why I kind of like suck at coordination moves. It kind of gets to me at comps, but yeah.
I feel like a lot of like coaches and people say that in bouldering, you have to be very like sure in your movement and like commit to a certain beta. And so how do you, I don't know, manage to perform in bouldering with still being so unsure about what movement you want to go with?
I think I'm just like really good at pure strength boulders. Like I can just like pull through and like, I don't know, I guess thug my way through a lot of the boulders. But for example, in like Seoul finals, that wasn't the case. Like I had to like be powerful, explosive, and all that type of stuff. So that's why I did like pretty bad at that round.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. And then you can also spend like a really long time on boulders or lead routes. Do you feel like endurance came naturally to you, or was it something you like worked really hard to train and get better at?
It's definitely, I mean, I guess it does come natural in some ways, but I do have to work very hard to like maintain it. So like even when I was younger, I was doing like up, down, ups on like 512, 513. And I think I would say like most of my lead sessions, I do a minimum of like 15 to 20 routes, something like that. I think the most I've done is like 23 in a session, but I don't always do that. But yeah, I definitely have to work to keep that endurance.
And so do you prioritize keeping that endurance over maybe working on something like being more powerful?
Honestly, not really. I would say I work more on bouldering than I do on lead climbing. Like, I think I only do ropes once a week. So, yeah, I definitely boulder a lot more.
And we'll get into a bit more of like the details of your training later. But for now, since we just came off the 2025 season, let's get into that a little bit. So looking back on your 2025 season, how do you feel like it went in general?
I feel like it went pretty well. Like, I kept like a good momentum throughout the whole season. But like, I performed pretty well. Maybe not at all the comps, but most of them. But I think like towards the end, towards Korea, I was just like getting pretty tired.
It was like an especially long season for people, it sounds like.
Yeah, I think it started in April.
Yeah, just thinking back to a lot of like the boulder comps, do you ever regret trying to like beta break or static so many of them?
Yeah, like definitely. Dude, there were so many times where I just like got so extremely pumped on a boulder where I just like could not recover for the rest of my attempts.
Whoa, really?
Like, I think in like at finals in Seoul on the second boulder, I was on that like second to last hold for probably like a minute and a half or something like that. And after my first attempt, I was like pretty much done. Like, I could not recover after that.
We can't see what's going on behind the camera or like what the coaches are thinking. Do you get like talkings to from the coaches of like, you gotta stop doing that?
Yeah, my coach did tell me that I should like fully commit to the coordination beta for like the first 3 to 4 minutes, and if I feel like it's like I'm not close at all or if it's not gonna work, then maybe I could try to static. But I don't know, I guess like when I'm in the moment, all like my main goal is just to like get to the top of the boulder, so I'm not really thinking about that.
And so you're gonna disregard that coaching?
Not like just disregard, but I kind of just like forget about it in the moment because I'm so locked in.
And then I guess similarly along the vein of like being a slower climber, you time out a lot in lead. I guess I'm wondering how that happens, because I think a lot of people look down at the clock, realize that there's not much time left, and then they like kind of motor. So do you just like stop looking at the clock at a certain point, or what happens there?
I mean, when I get to about a minute left, I kind of do start to like pick up the pace, but I mean, ideally I should be picking up the pace like lower down on the route, because that's where I lose most of my time. But yeah, it's kind of weird because like in my training, I honestly don't climb that slow. I would say I'm actually a pretty fast climber, but whenever I'm like on signing something, I'm pretty slow. So that's like something I need to work on.
Is it like you think the pressure of like one slip and then it's over?
I think that, and I'm just like more focused on like getting to the top of the route than I am on like getting as high as I can in the fastest amount of time, like without timing out.
I guess it's kind of surprising to hear that you start to motor after like when there's a minute left, because I feel like there are definitely times in lead where there's like less than a minute and you still look like as if there was an infinite amount of time left.
Yeah, true. I mean, maybe I think I'm moving faster, but maybe I'm not. I don't know. Because sometimes I go back and I like in the moment, I feel like I'm like flying through the route, and then I go back and watch it and I'm like, dang, I'm going really slow right now.
Yeah.
I need to like pick up the pace.
How often do you watch back your climbs?
Like pretty much after every comp. I like to see like what I could work on, what I could improve.
Based on what you've like watched this year, what do you feel like you need to work on for the future?
For bouldering, probably explosiveness and like commitment, and then lead, just like climbing faster and more efficient.
I guess like what are you doing to work on those? Or I guess you haven't started training yet for the next season, but what's your plan?
Honestly, next year I think I'm gonna focus a little bit more on bouldering, so I don't really have too much of a plan yet for lead, but I'll probably like start doing a lot more lifting and stuff like that. I mean, I did lift last year, but it wasn't very like intentional. This year, I kind of want to be more intentional with what I'm doing.
Okay. Why the focus on boulder for next year?
I kind of want to like not suck at coordination moves anymore, because I feel like I have a reputation for like, I don't know, the climber that can never do coordination, or like, I don't know. I guess people just expect me to not do cordo moves and stuff like that. And I just kind of want to change that.
Want to prove them wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you, I feel like you more so have a reputation.
Life is unpredictable, but preparing for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. They offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to policygenius.com. That's policygenius.com.
To like try to static it, but then eventually you That's can true, still yeah. do the coordination move. You just don't do it to start with.
I mean, in some cases, maybe, but in finals and Seoul, like the first boulder, I just felt so far off of that. Like I felt like there was no possible way I could do it, which was really weird. It was like a swing to a press and then a paddle finish.
And where did you get on that one?
I got to the last move. It took me a while to get up there, though.
Yeah, what about that one specifically felt weird? Or is there like a certain type of coordination that you feel like you're worse at? Because I mean, there's a lot of different kinds.
I don't know. When there's like so many like complex hand and foot movements, it really like throws me off. It's hard to like focus on each movement or each move one at a time. I just kind of like blur everything into one. So, yeah. And also the first move for some reason just felt really big for me. So every time I would like get that move, I would be scared to commit to the last move because I was like, oh, what if I don't make it back to the 10 zone?
Are you one of the shorter climbers? I don't actually know your height.
I'm 5'4".
Oh, okay.
So I'm like pretty average.
Okay. Well, good to know that you'll be working on that for next season. I hope to see you commit to some more coordination moves for next year's bouldering.
Yeah, me too.
And thinking back on like 2025 season, do you have any like favorite or least favorite moments?
I mean, I think my favorite moment was winning like the World Cup in Madrid. That was pretty special to me. Because I've always been like characterized as a lead climber. So I guess winning like a lead World Cup was pretty cool.
Yeah, and that was your first lead gold?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think being characterized as a lead climber, it's like surprising that was your first lead gold and you had like a couple boulder goals before that.
Yeah.
When you are traveling for World Cups, how much time do you get to actually enjoy your travel versus just like being nervous for a competition?
I mean, I wouldn't say I'm like super nervous for competitions, but there's not like a ton of time to go out and like do sightseeing and stuff like that, because like even if we're like not competing, we have to still like maintain our shape during in between the competitions. But like I guess the little time that we do have is pretty enjoyable.
Yeah, do you have like a favorite place to travel in the world for World Cups?
I mean, we haven't had a World Cup there since like 2023, but probably Japan.
Oh, yeah, right.
I love Japan.
Yeah, I mean, when you were saying that you haven't had a World Cup since a while ago, I mean, you didn't even start doing World Cups until a few years ago, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Because the minimum age is 16?
It used to be like 15. You had to be like turning 16 that year, but now you have to be turning 17 that year. I heard rumors that they were even raising the age to 18, but I don't think that's official yet.
Yeah, I think you're definitely one of probably like the youngest climbers that I've interviewed so far. So it's crazy how far you've come being so young.
Thank you.
What are your goals for 2026?
I think honestly, just like the same that they were this year, just like continue training, going to World Cups, competing and seeing how I do. Because there's honestly not really... I mean, my big goal is, like, of course, LA 2028, so these next couple of seasons are, like, pretty chill for me.
Speaking of the Olympics, I mean, I know a lot of the top athletes took a break this year from competing to, like, rest from the Olympic season. I mean, like, of course, Yanya only chose a few competitions to go to. How confident do you feel in, like, competing against them in the future?
I mean, I honestly don't think too much about it because I feel like I'm not really that competitive with other people. I'm more like competitive with myself. So like if I do bad at a comp, I'm mad at myself, like not mad that I didn't podium or whatever.
Yeah, and I guess when you mentioned your goals, none of it included like a specific medal count or podiuming. So I guess it's good in that way.
Yeah.
So you don't even think about like who to watch out for. Like, I mean, especially when it comes to getting Olympic spots. I mean, there's probably still only going to be like two per gender per country.
I mean, it might be one.
Oh,
I heard rumors that it's one. So.
Whoa.
I guess we'll see. Yeah, it's definitely going to be hard to qualify, but I'm trying not to think too much about it since that's like so far ahead in the future.
Interesting to hear about the one rumors. I mean, okay.
I don't know if it's true, but I heard rumors.
Yeah. It's hard to get into rumors because I know definitely people, it changes a lot. But I mean, what's the purpose of the one per gender per country rumor? Because that makes it really difficult.
Yeah, I honestly have no idea. I cannot tell you.
How confident would you feel if it was like a combined qualifiers? Like, would you prefer that?
I think I would. I honestly don't know. I think it's too early to tell. But I think I do strive more like in combined disciplines because I'm like good at both.
Do you not have like any plan to do the lead season for next year?
No, I'm pre-qualified for the lead season, so I'll still do it, but I just won't train it as much as I have been.
Okay, so then going into what your training looks like, what does your training schedule look like? Like number of days a week, hours a day? If you're interested in ad-free episodes and would like to unlock over 4 hours of deleted scenes, do consider helping support this podcast on Patreon. Some other perks include a membership pin shipped to you after 2 months, prioritized guest questions, or the ability to submit video questions, and more to come. The proceeds go back into the podcast, help me break even, and they help me improve the experience of the guests. If you'd like to help out non-monetarily, liking, commenting, and sharing helps a great deal as well. Back to the show.
I climb like 5 days a week, and I also swim twice a week and lift like 2 to 3 times a week.
Whoa.
But for climbing, I would say I'm in the gym like 5 to 6 hours max, maybe 7 on longer days. Then I also do some like at-home exercises since I live so far from the gym, but I'm pretty much like working out all day.
I'm surprised that you live so far from the gym because... Yeah, I feel like usually at a certain point at a certain level, people are like trying to, I don't know, optimize their schedule as much as possible.
I really just don't have the money to like move out right now. And I'm trying to like save up for much more like needed expenses and stuff like that for like traveling and funding my training and stuff like that. But yeah, it takes me like 30 to 40 minutes to get to the gym every day. Sometimes even longer if I want to go to a different gym.
Is there any like one thing you did that you feel like made you level up in your climbing ability?
I feel like, I don't know if it made me level up, but I feel like the more I board climb and the more I spray wall, like the stronger I feel, which I guess makes sense because it's just like pure power training. But yeah, so I think like this off season, I'm going to be doing a lot more of that type of stuff.
You feel like it helps with like comp movement or like comp climbing too?
I don't know, I guess like power boulders and feeling strong. Yeah. I don't really like have access to a lot of like comp boulders and stuff like that. They don't really set that here in Dallas. So it's hard to train on that type of stuff.
So a couple of thoughts come to mind. Well, I guess so one for me, I always feel like if you board climb a lot, you just get really good at board climbing. Is that an incorrect take, you think?
No, I think that's correct. But I feel like if you also supplement it with like spray walling, it could help on like power focused boulders in a World Cup.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of like your gym access, are there climbs that are hard enough for you?
I would say the route setters in the DFW area are like pretty strong. So they do set some hard stuff for like themselves to work on. And I do get on those boulders, but they're just like all commercial style and it's not really anything I would see like in a World Cup, so it's like, I don't know, I guess hard to train in the gyms. I mean, I did used to have access to the Team Texas training centers, but ever since like Movement bought all the gyms and kind of like took over, they've been making it like a real pain to like get access to those gyms.
Oh, okay.
Like, I think leading up to the Seoul World Cup, I've been on a spray wall like one time, and that was in Salt Lake. Yeah, same. It has been like pretty difficult to like train.
Maybe you need some context in terms of like Team Texas. Yeah, I guess like what happened there? Like you used to have access to their training facilities, but now you don't?
Yeah, so like before Movement bought like the gyms and everything, I would just like go in with one of the coaches and like train for like 3 to 4 hours or something like that. But now Movement like has all these like strict rules, like, oh, you have to have a Movement employee in here. Oh, you can only go during these times. And I don't know, I guess since a lot of my friends have like left Movement because they've, I don't know, I guess just like gotten tired of working with them. So I just haven't had anyone to go into the TCs with.
Yeah, I find that surprising because, I mean, usually World Cup athletes kind of get access to any gym they want to get access to, right? I mean,
every time we call the higher ups, they're like, oh yeah, we want to help, we want to help. But then they just like don't do anything about it. They're like, yeah, I'm sorry, we can't give you access, but like, we want to help. So like, yeah, I don't really get what their viewpoint is.
You had mentioned that access to training facilities and resources makes a big difference with competitions. Can you just like elaborate on that a bit? Like, how is your access lacking now? And how do you feel like it'll improve in the future?
If you have like access to comp style boulders, of course, you're going to like thrive in that area. If you don't, then you're not going to. But I mean, back in the day, the coaches used to set like pretty hard comp style boulders for like the male A, male junior categories. And I would get on those type of stuff. But now I just haven't had access to that in like the past year or so. So it's been pretty hard to like train on those style blocks. The only time I actually can train on those is when I like fly out to Salt Lake, but I can only do that like so many times.
And so that's why you use like spray walling a lot?
Well, the training center is actually like where the spray wall is located, and I haven't had access to that. So I've pretty much like leading up to Korea, I've just pretty much been board climbing and climbing out of the gyms.
Whoa, really?
Yeah, I did go to Salt Lake for a week, but yeah, it was very minimal.
Yeah, I can only imagine because, I mean, comp climbing is a very specific type of movement.
Yeah.
And yeah, well, I can't imagine like trying to learn that without having access to, I don't know, maybe like the hold styles and like the specific setting. Yeah, I guess now you're like static style makes a lot more sense now to me.
Yeah, pretty much like all that I focus on.
Well, so yeah, with your upcoming like 2026 goal of focusing on bouldering and coordination moves, how do you plan to get that experience?
I think I'll be flying down to up to Salt Lake a lot more often. And also one of the coaches is opening a new training center in the Dallas area. I can't really like talk too much about it, but I think it'll be a good thing.
Okay, so then moving on into, I guess, a little bit of your lifestyle. I mean, you just graduated high school, right?
Yeah, I did, in the spring.
Were you just doing like public school, or was it like homeschooling?
It's a public online school, so it's pretty much like the exact same thing that you'd be doing in a public school, but all online. I've been doing it since seventh grade.
So yeah, does that make it easier to like balance school and climbing at the same time?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like for like the assignments, we still have due dates, but we can like work as far ahead as we want or like whenever we want throughout the day. So it's pretty flexible.
Do you plan on doing like further education or college, or are you just going to be focusing on climbing like the upcoming year?
Definitely further education. I was going to start college in like this month, actually, but I decided to just like take a gap semester just to like fully relax and recover after the season. But I'll be starting college next year. In the spring.
Exciting. What are you like? What's your major?
Digital marketing.
That was something I was considering getting into, and then it didn't work out. So I'm back to my usual stuff. But are you like going to stay at home doing that? Or I know a lot of US comp climbers end up moving to the Salt Lake area for better training facilities.
I honestly don't know yet. I really want to move to Salt Lake, but I just don't really have the money to do that right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't really get a lot of funding from sponsors, but yeah, I guess we'll see. For right now, I'll be staying at home and doing school.
Do you feel like, well, so first of all, like USA Climbing doesn't provide any like stipend for winning comps or being on the US team or anything like that?
No, they do fund like most of our big expenses, like flights and hotels and stuff like that, but that's pretty much it.
And in terms of like making money from winning competitions that you go to, it's not much.
it's very minimal, yeah. Definitely not enough to live off of.
I know a lot of competitors in the US end up going to like local comps to make a bit more money. I feel like, yeah, you would be kind of a shoo-in for like getting first place. So is that like something you do much?
I mean, I used to do those in the past, but I don't know. It's just after such a long season, I'm just like so tired. And like the last thing I want to be doing is like traveling and doing another comp. I just want to be like relaxing and maybe go outdoor climbing.
So do you have like a preference for outdoor climbing? I don't think I see much info about your like outdoor sense.
I definitely do enjoy it a lot, but I just don't get outside that much since I'm like pretty much competing the entire year or like training for it. But yeah, I might do a little bit this like coming month or next month.
Yeah, I guess now would be the time since you're taking a break. Where are you planning on going outside?
We were thinking about maybe Rifle, just like a fun trip, maybe not like try anything super hard.
Like a family trip?
Yeah.
So you don't have any like big ascents that you're planning on doing outside?
Not really. I'm kind of just going with the flow right now. I mean, I was working on Golden Ticket last year, but I really don't think I'm in shape for that route right now.
Okay.
If I'm being completely honest.
What is Golden Ticket?
It's 14C in the red, although I do think it's harder than that. Like, I sent Pure Imagination, which is, like, to the left of it, third go on that trip, and that one's also rated 14C. And then I, like, got on Golden Ticket, and it felt, like, at least two or three grades harder, maybe two grades. Whoa. So, at least for me. I feel like for that route, it's a lot easier if you're taller.
For me, it's hard to conceptualize what it means to be like in shape for a certain route or like for a certain outdoor bouldering season versus indoor or like competition bouldering season. What does that mean to you?
It may like not seem like it, but I feel like my endurance is not that great right now because I haven't really been training it that much. But yeah, maybe if I train it a little bit, I could like get into shape pretty fast. But I don't know. It's not really something that I'm like too focused on.
Well, best of luck to your outdoor adventures.
Thank you.
Outside of climbing and school, do you feel like you have time for any other hobbies?
I mean, honestly, not really. Like, I feel like earlier in the year, all I was doing was just like climbing in school. And now that I have a bunch of free time, I just don't really know what to do with myself. Kind of just like sitting at home doing nothing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You haven't, like, picked up anything new?
Scrolling. I mean, I've been lifting and stuff like that, but not climbing.
Just, like, scrolling online or...
Yeah, taking naps from the jet lag.
Right, yeah, that makes sense. I recommend this to everyone. I don't know why. I really like crocheting.
I'll have to try that out. Yeah. A lot of my friends do crocheting.
I started it with one of those, I don't know if you've ever seen like the ads, but it's called like Woobles and it has like kits.
Oh yeah,
kits.
I've seen that, yeah.
Yeah, that's how I like started it. I don't even know why I talk about it so much. I don't even do it right now because I don't have time for it. But it's like when I do have time, I think I want to get into that.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out.
Okay, so getting into some of the audience questions, in some professions, a person can dislike or at least like not love their job, but still excel and spend a lot of time at work. How applicable do you feel like that is to climbing? Like if someone put in a lot of work, but weren't necessarily passionate about it, do you feel like they could still be at an elite level?
I don't know. I don't really think so. I feel like you can't. I feel like it's not possible to like spend that much time in a gym, put that much like effort if you're like not passionate about it. I mean, I honestly, I don't think I'm the best person to ask because I love climbing, but I would think not. So, I don't know.
Do you like remember moments during training where you just didn't really feel like doing it anymore?
I mean, there's definitely like times in my training where I'm frustrated because I'm not where I'm like where I want to be at, but I feel like there was never a time where I never enjoyed it, I guess. I don't know. I just like enjoy the grind. I enjoy like the pain.
Yeah. No, you never had a moment where it was just like, oh, I feel like I want to quit climbing altogether.
I mean, maybe after a comp, but that was just like for like 10, 15 minutes and then I'm fine.
What about like the training portion? I know that a lot of athletes say that they also love like the training as well.
Yeah, I really enjoy training. I actually find it like more fun than comp sometimes.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Just like the getting stronger portion, or I think like a lot of people have different ideas of like what training entails. Is that like just strength training or like board stuff, or what is training?
I don't know. There's just like a lot, just like getting stronger on the board. And also when I'm doing endurance on ropes, it's really easy for me to like get locked in and it feels like I'm just like not getting pumped at all. And it like I can just keep climbing for like forever. So that's really fun.
Okay. Good to know. Well, so earlier you had also mentioned that you don't really feel nervous for comps. I kind of wonder what goes through your mind leading up to and during a comp.
I honestly don't have much to say about that because I try not to think too much about comps. And like I like mentioned earlier, I'm not super competitive with other people. I'm more like competitive with myself. So I guess there's not as much pressure there. I'm just like trying to perform to the best of my abilities and like whatever happens, happens.
Okay.
So like if I'm mad or upset after a comp, it's like because I didn't perform the way I wanted to, or like as well as I knew I'm capable of.
I mean, yeah, that makes sense. I know that mindset is like a big thing that a lot of athletes struggle with. And so, especially as a younger competitor, do you feel like you've had struggles with your mindset at all during competitions, or like where you get into a negative space like during a competition?
I would say so, yeah. Like when I'm not able to do a boulder, it kind of does get into my head, especially when it's like a boulder I know that I can do, but I was like just too timid to like give it my all. Or like on a lead route, I'm like getting to the head wall and I'm thinking, oh, what if my foot slips?
Oof.
And that kind of like throws me off.
How do you like get back into the right mindset, or get your head back into the game?
I honestly don't really have anything right now. It's kind of something I'm still working on.
Has it ever like ruined an entire comp for you? Like you maybe like on a first boulder you came out and it didn't go the way you wanted, and then it kind of affected the rest of the competition?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely like Innsbruck finals was a big one. Because like looking at the boulders, I felt pretty confident that I could do them. And then I got out and I was trying the first boulder and I just had no idea what to do. And it really frustrated me. And it kind of just like threw off the whole round.
Yeah. Do you like remember what you were feeling like, or what went through your mind the rest of that finals?
I don't know. I think I was just so focused on like, oh, I didn't do the first boulder because I like had no idea what to do. I was just like so frustrated and so hard on myself that I couldn't really focus on like giving it my all for the next three boulders. Like even on the slab, which was like a pretty easy boulder, I was just so frustrated that it took me like three or four attempts to do it.
I guess in those comps, I mean, you say that it's always just about like your own performance. Do you like pay attention to if other people are topping or getting zones or anything like that?
Maybe a little bit, but it doesn't really affect me that much.
So like if you say you like know that you need to top a boulder because other people have, there was like a window of opening for you to take a gold or something like that, does it motivate you more to try harder?
I mean, I honestly don't know. I always try to try as hard as I possibly can, even if I'm like not going to win anything. So it's hard to say.
Okay. So yeah, going back to some of the audience questions, or the last two, they're both like mindset related. Have you ever worked with a sports psychologist, and what are your thoughts on it?
I started working with one recently, this like past month, but I don't know. It's honestly like kind of weird for me.
How so?
I think I'm just like not used to it, but yeah, I'm a pretty introverted person, so I'm not really used to like talking and opening up to people. So it's kind of weird for me.
How do you feel like it's going? Like, have you learned any strategies that you feel like have been helpful or things that you might want to take forward?
I mean, honestly, like not really.
Damn. Okay.
But
just blast the psychologist.
Yeah, sorry, my bad. But yeah, I don't know.
Well, hopefully, I mean, it's only a month, so wait it out and see. Yeah, hopefully you'll get some helpful tips there. And so the last audience question was, how do you manage pressure when it starts to get to you?
I don't know. I honestly feel like I don't feel pressure at comps, which is kind of a weird thing, but like, I don't know. I guess when I like don't top a boulder, I can like get really hard on myself. But I guess I put the pressure on myself more than I like feel it from other people.
Yeah, I mean, now that you've won like a few medals and golds, do you feel like you have more expectations for yourself, or like are you putting more pressure on yourself to perform and podium?
I mean, not really. I kind of like, yeah, I'm pretty chill.
Okay, that seems like a good way to go about it. Yeah, I mean, I guess especially since you mentioned like the next couple years, it's not Olympic season, so it's just kind of like a fun time.
Yeah, I mean, of course I want to like podium and win, but like if I don't, then I guess it's fine as long as I'm climbing strong.
One of the healthier mindsets I've heard about competing. So do you like competition style boulders?
I do. Yeah, I do really enjoy like competing and like being out on the stage and like trying hard and stuff like that, but definitely need to work on like those comp style moves.
Another one, again, about like having a lot of endurance and doing lead. Do you have any tips for lead climbing and endurance?
I would just say like, honestly, just like climb a lot for pure endurance. Just like do like a bunch of routes. That's what I do when I'm just trying to build like a base endurance. I do like a minimum of like 15 to 20 routes, like I said earlier.
Okay. You don't have like a endurance hangboarding routine?
No. I do hangboard, but not for like endurance, just for pure finger strength.
And so, again, going back to you having a more like static climbing style, I know a lot of like gym climbers also don't really like big coordination moves or dynamic moves, so this might be really relatable to them. And you still manage to excel at like coordination moves in a static way too. So any tips for people with a more static and controlled style as they struggle on moves that ask for more dynamic movement?
I mean, honestly, I would just say like commit to the jump, commit to the quarter move, and eventually you're gonna learn the movement and dial down the move, even if it like takes you longer than maybe like a more powerful climber would take on it.
So you actually do not suggest people to follow your climbing style and try to beta break a dyno?
No, don't do that.
Okay, good to know.
I mean, you could do both, honestly. Do the boulder twice.
Okay. Well, people are gonna hate to hear that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, work on your weaknesses, I guess. And you'll be the leader for that as you work on your bouldering for 2026.
Yeah, hopefully.
Okay, and really quick, last one. With your unique climbing style, does it make it difficult for you to collaborate with other athletes when you guys are previewing boulders or lead?
I mean, honestly, most of the time, I feel like the beta is pretty straightforward, so we do agree with like most of the movement, most of the beta, but I also don't really read the route with anyone usually because I'm like pretty introverted. So I'm like I'm too shy to like walk up to other people and ask about beta and stuff like that. But it's something I'm trying to work on.
People don't like come up to you and try to ask for your beta?
No, not really.
I mean, yeah, I guess I don't actually know what people are talking about when they're going through it. Like, they just read it together, or are they ever trying to like get specific info about how you're going to do a climb?
I mean, maybe like specific info on the more like complex movements. So like a lead route is structured, it's like pretty easy climbing, and then maybe like a hard move, and then like a powerful steep section, and then like a slow finish on the headwall. So like most of the time we would be like talking through the crux of the lead route.
Are there certain athletes you're happy to see with you in finals because you feel like you think alike or climb alike, and then you can collaborate better with them?
I mean, honestly, it's always fun to like get to compete against all these girls because they're all super strong and super cool. But I think I would have to say Jenny Buckley because she's one of my closest friends. So always cool to like to get to compete with her.
Oh, okay. That's good to know. Yeah, she's so nice. I talked to her a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's super fun to talk to.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you guys have similar climbing styles?
Definitely not. She's a super dynamic climber.
Yeah.
Like complete opposites.
I guess if like the other competitors, who do you feel like is most similar to you?
I don't know. Probably the lead climbers. Maybe Chan So.
Maybe like Aimori too. Although she is a lot shorter, so that might change things a bit.
I mean, Cheyenne is pretty good at bouldering too, so I'd probably say her.
Yeah, she also like went back and worked a lot on her bouldering.
Yeah, she's super strong, yeah.
Well, I hope that it works out for you next season. I hope to see you do a lot more coordination moves and not feel too scared of them. I think that's all the questions I had for today then. Do you have any like last minute words of wisdom that you want to get out there for like maybe people who are trying to get into climbing or comp climbers?
I mean, I don't know. I guess like keep training hard and having fun. Enjoy the process.
All right, cool. Anything else that you might want to shout out or let people know where they can find you? Get like sponsors?
I mean, my Instagram is annie.sanders with an extra S at the end. But yeah, that's pretty much my main social media. I'm also on Red Note, actually.
Oh, really?
Annie.sanders, yeah.
Okay. Red Note is like the Chinese
TikTok, yeah.
Okay. Why Red Note?
I have like a lot of fans in Asia and China, so I don't know. A couple friends mentioned to me that it might be like a good idea to start a social media platform on there, or a social media account.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, sounds good. Well, I will link those below. Hopefully I can find the Red Note one. I've never had anyone try to share their Red Note, so I'll take a look there. Yeah, that's all I have then. Thank you again. It was amazing to talk to you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much for making it to the end of the podcast. Don't forget to like and subscribe if you enjoyed. Otherwise, you are a super fake climber. If you're listening on a podcasting platform, I'd appreciate if you rate it 5 stars, and you can continue the discussion on the free competition climbing Discord linked in the description. Thanks again for listening.